Surgery in order to make yourself look good and look better. In the beginning of the year, gym passes are sold in abundance. By February, everybody realizes working out is not that easy and they take a loss on the gym passes that they have purchased. So as a nation, we have created tremendous amount of energy that we expend upon being youthful to such an extent that we exchange all our worldly thoughts to the point where we forget the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran clearly makes it known that it is the hereafter that is more critical than your present life, because the hereafter is forever when the current life is very, very limited. And yet, if we examine our purchasing patterns, for example, if someone says, give a dollar to a poor person, it becomes very difficult for us to give. Yet, if someone was to take you in a fancy hotel, put you on a fancy table, have a beautiful vase in front, and have a person giving you a speech that will charge you 3,000 to 5,000 for whatever he says, thereafter it becomes easier for you to give not just a dollar, but $100, if not $1,000. The human mind has become such that it prefers comfort and luxury, and when it sees comfort and luxury, then it supports the act of giving. And when it sees oppression and pain, instead of finding a way to support it and eliminate it, it creates a situation of devastating that individual that's already oppressed, as if that person has not had enough. That's why they say, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. What they're saying is, in actuality, those that can get away with things, we allow them to continue getting away. On the other hand, the one that is stifled, we will continue to stifle them even more so they can never get up and do what is necessary in life. This has become the system and pattern of this world. And Rasulullah makes mention of this in the hadith when he says, a time will come when a person is oppressed and he will not even know why he's being or she's being oppressed. But it all comes under the notion of, I want to be happy and I want you to be sad. I want to gain and you must not gain. I must be in a position of luxury and you must be in the position of downtrodden. You know, there is the thing that is taking place out there. You'll see in the biggest cities this is happening. People that have been married for 25 years, what do? They have an anniversary. And the anniversary that they have is, in essence, a new wedding to celebrate they are married for 25 years. So imagine a man and a woman married for 25 years, having a 23-year-old child, getting married all over again. So you ask the woman, why are you doing this? You know what you're saying? Because when I was young, somebody else had my wedding for me. Instead of me planning, my mother-in-law the planning, my mother-in-law did all the planning, I felt left out in my own wedding. And the guy will say the same thing. I couldn't enjoy my wedding back then. So now I have to have a wedding again 25 years later to celebrate what I missed 25 years earlier. That same given man, when he comes to his 23-year-old son and daughter getting married, instead of saying, let me prevent you from having two weddings, one now and one 25 years later, oh my child, you had your own wedding and enjoy it. They will do the same thing, saying, I never got to enjoy my wedding, now I want to control your wedding, so 25 years old, 25 years later, you can gain liberation and do your own thing. What have we done to our lives? What have we done to our children in the pursuit of happiness, in the pursuit of enjoyment, in the pursuit of all these anniversaries and 50th birthday party, etc., etc.? So in line of such thinking, we have to ask ourselves a very important question. What preparation have we made for our future? I mean, we prepare for all these weddings and anniversaries, etc. But the question is, these things are temporary. How many years are we going to live? 45? 55? Once you hit 75, in today's time, it's definitely a bonus. And before you know it, we are gone. The question we have to ask, and Shawal Wasiullah makes his point, he says, okay, I'm not going to ask you about the 30 years we have lived. I will not ask you about the past 50 years we have lived. I'm just going to ask you about the last 24 hours. And my father will say, I'm just going to ask you, my son, about the last 24 minutes. How was your accountability? And this is something we have to ask ourselves. That the last 24 hours, how different were they compared to the previous 24 hours in the previous years? Forget about that. From the time we got up this morning, did we perform our salah? Okay, we did, alhamdulillah. For those that did, in what state and condition did we do so? After the salah, we may have had time. We talk about the love of Rasulullah. If anybody says anything negative, we go crazy. But our Rasulullah said, I want every believer of mine to memorize Surah Yasin. Forget about memorizing it. How many of us read it this morning? We talk about wealth and sustenance. I want this and I want that. How many of us even thought about this morning after we read our Surah Yasin that maybe I should get ready for reading the Surah Waqiah, the Surah that if read by with conviction and love will give you not just provision but barakah. Today being a Friday, we bathe. Not that you say other days we don't bathe, but you take more pride in it today. It's an added sunnah. And we get ready to come. What about the Surah Kahf? Have we read it? And we know the virtues of Surah Kahf. The one that reads it, inshallah, will be protected from the fitna of Dajjal, the fitna of corruption, the fitna of the evilness of other individuals. Now coming to a small story regarding the hereafter, there was a king. And Mufti Taqi Usmani doesn't mention the story, but he makes a point. What is the definition of king, amir, leader, president, prime minister? Now, the definition in today's time, I think a few weeks ago, some of you probably know Obama was in town. And if you went on 600 South, you'll notice what was there on the road?
Buses.
Yeah, exactly. A full line of buses. And on the side, you see what was there?
No.
See, half answer is no good.
Buses also.
No, not buses. They were trucks resembling those concrete trucks, right? So imagine this lectern, this side, all buses jam-packed, close enough. And on this side, huge trucks, probably 5-10 ton trucks, all around, surrounding the entire block. He's the president, he deserves protection. So nobody can drive through, run through, and commit acts of carnage, violence, etc. So the definition of a president, prime minister, emir, etc., he says is one that demands respect, one that wants respect. And we're not saying they don't demand it. But he says the true definition of a king, of an emir, of a president, of a prime minister, is that individual that will be in a position of leadership, but while being in a position of leadership, makes things comfortable, makes things easy, assists the people in getting to their ultimate goal. So while he is a leader, he is simultaneously also a servant. Now, there was a person by the name of Bahloul. Bahloul, rahmatullah alayh, was one day sitting in a corner. And the king of the area is going by. And there is fanfare. He's with his entourage, just like our Obama. And there are his servants, maids, slaves, you name it, they all are around him. And Bahloul is sitting under a tree. So as the king is going by, everyone is standing, bowing down, giving their hand in approval of his presence. And Bahloul is sitting under the tree and he's reading his Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah. He is doing his own thing. Bahloul was very upset, but he didn't show it. So he comes down and he asks this man, "Who are you?" "I'm Bahloul, mashallah. What do you do?" "Well, and haven't you recognized who I am?" Bahloul said, "I only stand for Allah. And the time that I stand for my Allah is during Salah." Look at the difference between me and you. Somebody important walks in, we stand up for them. But Salah, that's a different issue. Allah forgives what you say. One fellow even said, "When I perform Salah in the Kaaba, I get reward 150,000 times. So all the Salah that I missed, I'm just going to go there, read one qada of Fajr, and that's it, I'm done." No, it doesn't work like that, my brothers and sisters. It does not work that way. Suffice to say, he said, "I only stand for one, for Allah. The rest, that's it. I don't stand, and I continue to be what I have to do." He got very upset, Bahloul. I mean, the king got very upset, so he says, "Bahloul, tell me, what do you do every day for a living? Because you don't look like a very smart man." He says, "Let me tell you, king, what I do is I go to the bush every day. I go to the bush, I cut up little branches. You know, in those countries, they use those branches for firewood. And I collect the firewood, and this is what I sell." The king says, "You are a man that is very stupid. You're a dumb person." Today's time will say, "Dumb idiot. Bewu, you got nothing upstairs. You are from the Subhan, from the lowly people. And because you're so lowly, I'm going to give you an award for your stupidity." He goes to his entourage and he has a case. And in that case, he has a stick. He takes up the stick. In today's time, people will beat you with that stick. At least this king wasn't that oppressive. He took that stick and he gave it to Bahloul and said, "For your stupidity, I'm giving you the stick. And if you find anyone more stupid than you, you give it to them." And he left. Bahloul took the stick and he kept the stick with him. He kept it 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. And eventually, he decided one day, when everyone was going to visit the king, the doctors were coming in, everybody was coming in, he says, "Let me go and now visit the king as well." He says, "King, you know you're an elderly man. They're all trying to give you help. They're trying to reinvigorate you. You know, some of the kings I heard in some of the countries, I don't know how many millions of dollars is being spent on them just to keep them living from one day to the next." You heard about the Mubarak case, King Fahd case, may Allah give them Jannah, inshallah. Please don't send me letters and say, "Why did you say may Allah give them Jannah?" Brothers, I don't know the state they pass away in. Maybe you know, but I'll give the benefit of doubt and say, inshallah, they died with Iman.
So the dead demon, inshallah, Allah will give them Jannah. Inshallah, that applies to man qala la ilaha illallah, dakhala Jannah, inshallah. A'mal also is important, it's a separate issue. So anyway, he went to meet the king and he said, King, don't be offended, but I'm going to ask you one thing, King. You know, when you travel from one point to another, you make a lot of preparation. You take your employees, you take your food. Just for a 2-day hunt trip or 5 days hunting trip, you plan a lot and you take pride. Let me ask you, O King, now that you are passing away, what preparation did you make for the hereafter? Tell me, explain to me, give me accountability, King. I want to know, I want to learn from you. And the king looks at him and says, I'm afraid I have not made much preparations for the hereafter as much as I made regarding the world. He says, thank you, King. You know that stick you gave me once and you said I must give it to the biggest fool? I hereby give the stick back to you. My brothers, we laugh at this. But this is the exact question we have to be asking ourselves regarding what we have done and what we have not done. There was an imam by the name of Habib Ajami. He was a very pious man and a very good man. The average person over here probably reads one Quran a year in Ramadan. Those that are a little bit better, inshallah, they read one Quran a month. That's about maybe 12 Qurans a year. In 12 years, you may read 144. In a period of maybe 50 years, let's just say 1,000. We'll embellish it a little bit. Imam Ahmad Ajami, he read 18,000 Quran. Not just walking around in one area of his room. How many? 18,000 Quran in just one area of his room. His daughter says, Ya Abati Nima Tabki, oh my daughter, oh my father, Ya Abati, oh my beloved father, Nima Tabki, why are you crying? What makes you cry today in your old age? You are about to pass away. Nima Tabki, why are you crying? You're a good man. You've done so much good. He says, oh my daughter, as-safaru tawil wa zadu qaleel. I'm going on a very, very long journey. However, the preparation that I have made for this journey is very, very little. Therefore, my daughter, what am I going to take to my Allah, who has given me life, who has given me sustenance, who has given me the ability to create as much change as I could? Oh my daughter, I have failed my Allah, and I'm concerned as to what my outcome is going to be. Therefore, the scholars have said, and now we're getting ready very soon for the month of Ramadan, and that's why we're talking about all these things. The scholars have said, in order to create a change in a person's life, one has to become conscious. Well, Rasulullah makes a very powerful point. And he said, when the word taqwa is used, it refers to a state of consciousness. However, in order to bring forth consciousness, there are three things that go hand in hand. One is taqwa, the other is khawf, and the other is khashya. Min khashya billah. Khashya, khawf, and taqwa. While khawf refers to having the appropriate fear in Allah, and khashya refers to having total humility while one progresses in that which is necessary, regardless of the outcome of what they are doing. So for example, I'm studying science, or whatever I'm doing, or going for a business meeting, when accomplishing my end in that regard, I will never forget having fear of Allah, I will not forget the responsibility while signing the major contract, and at the same time, I'll be conscious at all times of what Allah is demanding of me. Once these three things are enacted in a person's life, then a person can be said to be successful in this world and hoping to attain the appropriate success in the hereafter. So my brothers, in conclusion, today we have spoken about an aspect of life that none of us can ever escape. People have tried it. Even people in the likes of the pharaohs have tried it in the past. And it remains the following. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Even Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, who was most beloved to the Prophet of Allah, even she had a stop death. If she, the most beloved, and she is going to be the leader of women on the day of judgment, she will go to the pains of death. The question we have to ask, what gives you and I the idea that we are going to ever escape it? And if the reality is we are not going to escape it, then let us not become like an individual in the case of Bahlul, where he goes to the king and says, yes, I may be foolish for being poor. I may be foolish for not standing up for you, king. I may be foolish in not ascribing to the definition of success that you want me to ascribe towards. But, O king, understand full well, your success, like the worldly endeavor, is how many years? 15, 20, 30, 45, maximum, you hit 100 and it's over. But, O king, the success of remember is a greater success that gives you benefit, inshallah, not only in this world, but in the hereafter to come as well. So, with these questions, we will continue getting ready for the month of Ramadan. Those of you that have the ability to start reciting more Quran, you should try to do it. Those of you that have the ability to fast a little bit more, now is the time you start doing it. One, two brothers I know called me already regarding questions regarding zakat. Those of you that Allah has blessed, start keeping your zakat money aside or start looking for poor people that you can give it to. Those of you that are more conscientious, start getting ready for the Hajj, which will come after the month of Ramadan. Allah has blessed you with resources. And these are the things you start working towards. This shows proof that we are getting ready, inshallah, for the big day, the day when we depart and will face our Creator. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us at all times. Wa akhira da'wana wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.